Translation. Or, if unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in the family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom, certainly such a birth is rare in this world. Text 43. Tatvatam buddhisam yogam labhate parvadehikam yatate chatato puya saṃsiddhau kuru nandana. Translation. On taking such a birth, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life, and he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success, O son of Kuru. Text 44. Purvabhyasena tenaiva viyate tyatvasubhasa jigyasur api yogasya shabda brahmati vartate. Translation. By virtue of the divine consciousness of his previous life, he automatically becomes attracted to the yogic principles, even without seeking them. Such an inquisitive transcendentalist stands always above the ritualistic principles of the scriptures. Text 45. Prayatnad yatamahanastu yogi saṃśuddha kyubhiṣa aneka janma saṃsiddhas tato yati param gatim. Translation. And when the yogi engages himself with sincere endeavor in making further progress, being washed of all contaminations, then ultimately achieving perfection after many, many births of practice, he attains the supreme goal. Text 46. Tapasvibhyo diko yogi jnanibhyo pimato dikaha karmibhyaschadiko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. Translation. A yogi is better than the ascetic, greater than the empiricist, and greater than the fruit of worker. Therefore, O Arjuna, in all circumstances, be a yogi. Text 47. Yoginam api sarvesham bhaktatena antaratmana shraddhavam bhajate yomam same yuktitamo mata. Translation. And of all yogis, the one with great faith who abides always in me thinks of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service to me. He is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Chapter 7, Text 1, page 363. Sri Bhagavan Urvacha Maya Saktamana Parta Yogam Yunjam Arashaya Asamshayam Samagramma Yata Gyasyasi Tachtrinu. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt." Text 2. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyam yasheshatah yajgyatva neha bhuyon yaj gyatavyam avashishate. Translation. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and noumenal. Thus being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Text 3. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvatam. Translation. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Text 4. Bhumirapo nalo vayu kamanobhidhirevacha ahankara tiyame vina prakritirashtata. Translation. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight constitute my separated material energies. Going back to text 41, page 353. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The unsuccessful yogis are divided into two classes. One is fallen after very little progress, and one is fallen after long practice of yoga. The yogi who falls after a short period of practice goes to the higher planets, where pious living entities are allowed to enter. After prolonged life there, one is sent back again to this planet to take birth in the family of a righteous Brahmana Vaishnava or of aristocratic merchants. The real purpose of yoga practice is to achieve the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, as explained in the last verse of this chapter. But those who do not persevere to such an extent and who fail because of material allurements are allowed by the grace of the Lord to make full utilization of their material propensities. And after that, they are given opportunities to live prosperous lives in righteous or aristocratic families. Those who are born in such families may take advantage of the facilities and try to elevate themselves to full Krishna consciousness. Any questions on this verse? Okay, 42. Or, if unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. On taking such a birth, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life, and he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success, O son of Kuru. Text 44. By virtue of the divine consciousness of his previous life, he automatically becomes attracted to the yogic principles, even without seeking them. Such an inquisitive transcendentalist stands always above the ritualistic principles of the scriptures. Purport. Advanced yogis are not very much attracted to the rituals of the scriptures, but they automatically become attracted to the yoga principles, which can elevate them to complete Krishna consciousness, the highest yoga perfection. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 333.7, such disregard of Vedic rituals by the advanced transcendentalists is explained as follows. Aho bhattasvapacho to gariyan yaj jiva grevartate namatubhyam te pastapaste juhuvu sushnar arya brahmanuchur namagananti yete. O my Lord, persons who chant the holy names of your Lordship are far, far advanced in spiritual life. Even if born in families of dog-eaters, such chanters have undoubtedly performed all kinds of austerities and sacrifices, bathed in all sacred places, and finished all scriptural studies. So this is the value of chanting Hare Krishna is being described here, because if one chants Hare Krishna, he doesn't have to worry about so many rules and regulations. He doesn't have to consider all the rituals that are offered in the Vedas. There are so many rituals for elevation to higher status. Generally, people think in terms dharma, artha, kama, moksha.
They think of
elevating themselves step by step, going up to the heavenly planets, and they think that that's the goal of life, is to enjoy here, senses, and then afterwards go and enjoy in a better position. So they have so many rituals worshipping different demigods and performing different sacrifices and so many things. Giving charity, performing austerities. But a real yogi is not attracted to all those things. But he's attracted to chanting Hare Krishna. That is the best of yogic principles. He's naturally detached from the material world. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayat Yasu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayurahoitukam. By devotional service in Bhakti Yoga, one naturally develops attachment, or one naturally develops knowledge and detachment from this world. So he doesn't have to strive very hard for detachment. He just naturally becomes detached. One who's chanted Hare Krishna, this verse is talking about namatubhyam, those who are chanting on their tongue, jivagre, who's on the tip of their tongue who are chanting. They've already done all the pious activities. They've done all the rituals. They've visited all the holy places. Now, they're engaged in this most advanced program of bhakti yoga. Because by chanting the holy name, one is associating with Krishna directly. Krishna's dancing on the tongue. So if Krishna's dancing on the tongue, what is the need for going to flatter the demigods and performing austerities and so many other things? Not required. He's already achieved. The example is given that if there are many different wells, someone may have one well for drinking water, one well for washing clothes, one well for irrigation. But if there's a river, then it fulfills all the needs of all the wells. You don't need. The one river serves all the purposes. Similarly, if one becomes Krishna conscious, then what does he need to do all the other activities trying to purify himself? He's automatically purified. Or, put another way, if someone receives $1 million, then all of his $100 problems are solved. He doesn't have to worry, now I've got $1 million, but what about my $1 million problems? Well, they're solved also. There's another place where Srila Bilba Mangal Thakur, he bids farewell to all of the rituals that he performed, Karma Kandya. He said, now I've become attracted to Krishna, and I'm sorry I won't be able to engage in these rituals. And we also see that, just like so many devotees, before they used to participate in different rituals, but now they don't have to do it. It's like, let's say someone comes from a Christian background. So there may be so many things that they say, well, you have to go to Easter services, and you have to go to Mass, and you have to go to the Eucharist, and this and that. But he's saying, I don't need to do these things. Don't you want to go to the church? And no, he doesn't need. Because he's already engaged in chanting Hare Krishna. He doesn't have any of these lesser responsibilities. They're already included. He's already offering his food to Krishna. He's only thinking about God all the time. Why does he need to perform these other... Now, in our Krishna conscious movement, we do accept some rituals. You may say, well, what about the rituals? Yes, we have some rituals we accept, especially from Narada Pancharatra. These are called Pancha Triki Vidhi. So we accept, the principle is, whatever's favorable for the discharge of devotional service. And the great acharyas have given us guidelines, which rituals are favorable and which ones are not so important. Some of them are not important for Vaishnavas, and some of them are recommended. It's like we have deity worship. Now, when Prabhupada first began the deity worship in our movement, he gave them just a little bit. And sometimes they were asking, well, can you give us more? Prabhupada said, yeah, I can give you so much. If I gave you everything, you'd faint. If I told you all the rules. Still, we don't have all the rules and regulations. But if you want to see some of them, you can read. We have one book called, what is it? Archana Pradipa, something like that. We have our deity worship guidelines. And it's very elaborate. More so than when we first started deity worship. But still, there's so much more to be done. If one really wants to dive deeply into the deity worship. So, according to our level, according to our capabilities, we engage in a certain amount of deity worship. For example, there's worship of Shalagram Shila. Shalagram Shila workers is very small stones. If you go to, there's one river in India, and this river, these are different incarnations of the Lord, and they have markings, specific markings on them. That's how you can tell that they are different incarnations of the Lord. And one can go there and chant certain mantras, and he will be able to get one of these Shalagram Shilas. And it's Krishna. And he can worship. He can take the little stone around, the deity, wherever he goes, keep in a box. And simple worship, some Ganges water, tulsi leaves, bathing, and little foodstuffs, and one has Krishna. That's one type of worship. But then Radha Krishna worship is more elaborate, requires many different offerings and so many things. So, the spiritual master is expert in adjusting the particulars of worship and the particulars of rituals that are required and beneficial. They may vary. There may be differences in the details from one acharya to another acharya, from one circumstance. Desha, kala, patra, time, circumstance may be different. And therefore, one should avoid criticizing others just because of some differences in the details of worship. They may worship a little differently. But the essence is bhakti. The essence is devotion, loving devotion to the Lord. So, go on to the next text. Text 45. And when the yogi engages himself with sincere endeavor in making further progress, being washed of all contaminations, then ultimately achieving perfection after many, many births of practice, he attains the supreme goal. 46. A yogi is better than the ascetic. When we read that. Of all yogis, 47, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Well, this is a very important verse because this verse Krishna, who is the ultimate goal of all yoga, he's the ultimate authority in the Vedas, and he's saying that there are many types of yoga, but the bhakti yogi is the topmost, and bhakti yoga is the top. You'll meet people that will tell you about other types of yoga, but you can tell them that Krishna says in 47th verse of the 6th chapter, after he explained all about Ashtanga yoga, meditation, different things, now he's saying, but just engage in bhakti yoga, that's the highest. That's why we don't have any other responsibilities. We don't have to worry about becoming any different type of yogi. Twisting the body, gymnastics, breathing exercises. It's not required. Some people say, well, I like to do that. Why do you like to do it? Well, they want to do it more for material considerations. From a spiritual point of view, bhakti yoga is complete. And it's also complete from a physical point of view. Now, what do we gain physically out of bhakti yoga? Well, if one performs bhakti yoga correctly, then he will have good health, he'll have good mental stability, he'll be good looking. We see that Vaishnavas also attractive. Because Krishna conscious person, he's carrying Krishna, naturally he'll be attractive. Look at Srila Prabhupada, he's so attractive. Everyone was very much attracted. Why? Simply because one becomes a devotee and he's associating with Krishna. It's like if you associate with fire, you become warm. Similarly, if you associate with Krishna, you become also like Krishna, all attractive. Questions on that point? Any of these points? Minimum. What's the minimum? Well, yes, minimum program to get to the higher planets. Well, bhakti yoga is already more advanced because that's what we're, that verse, svapachoto gariyan yaj jivagre, they're already very advanced. So one who's engaged in bhakti yoga, he's already developed. It's like there was, I think I told the story, there was that one devotee, he just got initiated and then he passed away, and Prabhupada said that he'll get his next birth in a very good devotee's family. So that's already the more advanced stage. So you're afraid that you might bypass the higher planets and go to the family of transcendentalists. So you want to be careful not to become too advanced so that you can still go to the heavenly planets. Well, even if you're very advanced, you can put in a request because Krishna knows what you want. You don't even have to say it. If you want to go to the heavenly planets, Krishna can arrange that for you. No difficulty. Can we present the Hare Krishna chanting as a means to release, to remove stress? Well, it certainly does remove stress. You can present it that yes, if you want to remove your stress, you can reduce stress, you can chant Hare Krishna. That's not the ultimate goal. That's not the real... In other words, that's a minor benefit. It's like if you chant Hare Krishna, you also... what are some other things? Well, if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll be less likely to engage in armed robbery. But that's not the real purpose of chanting Hare Krishna. There are better things to gain from it. You can not only get free from stress, but how would you like to have unlimited bliss? Now, if you have unlimited bliss, what's going to happen to your stress? Do you have to worry about stress if you have unlimited bliss? But they can't imagine getting unlimited bliss. So maybe, yes, you can. It's like Prabhupada told the story of that one man. He was a Christian missionary, and he went to the coal mines, and he was preaching amongst the coal miners. And so he was saying, if you go to hell, if you don't worship Jesus, you're going to go to hell. And they said, what's hell like? And he said, oh, it's very deep in the ground, and it's very dark and damp, everyone was silent. No one said anything. Because he could see that they're already living in the coal mines. It's just like hell anyway. So that didn't disturb them very much. So then he said, but if you go to hell, there's no newspapers. And they said, oh, that's horrible. So they were very attached to newspapers. So a preacher may have to adjust according to his audience. He may have to explain that if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll get free from stress. And that may encourage them to chant. And then later on, he can teach them more. Because after all, a person may not be able to understand everything in the beginning. Someone's in stress, then if you tell them chant Hare Krishna, see, you'll be free from stress. Or sometimes people chant Hare Krishna just because it's fun. Because they get fun out of it. That's okay. Which verse is that? Yes. So all the different yoga practices they're like a ladder. So the highest rung of the ladder is bhakti yoga, but they're all the beginning of bhakti. It's like mathematics. You could say the ultimate of mathematics is calculus or something. But the beginning stage of calculus, you can't get to calculus without also knowing something about addition and subtraction and things. So if they're following the process, then there are yogis, or at least beginning yogis, and then they fall in that category. Yes, I told this just a minute ago about one devotee. He was initiated. Prabhupada said, one takes shelter of Krishna. Initiation means taking shelter of Krishna, so he's always protected. Okay, text one. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga and full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Text 2. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. Thus being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Yes, when the Lord wants to give a synopsis of knowledge that one needs to know, there's nothing further required. Sometimes we may become a little ungrateful, thinking, well, Krishna hasn't given me enough. I want more. But we already have what we need. It's like Prabhupada said that in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have limited our study to 3 books primarily. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, or Nectar of Devotion. Some books, not unlimited. Because if you want to study all the Vedas, then you'll spend your whole life trying to study all the Vedas, but you'll become confused. It's not necessary to study all the different parts of the Vedas. It depends what you want. If you want to go back to Krishna, then you should study the parts of the Vedas that talk about going to Krishna. Why would you study other parts? What is the use? Just like if you're going to some particular place, well then you learn about that place. Or you buy a ticket for that place. That's the point. You don't have to buy tickets for every place. So it depends what you want. If you want to go, Yanti Deva Prata Devan, Patrim Janti Patri Vitaha, Bhutani Yanti Bhuteja, Yanti Madhya Jinopimam. If one wants to go to Krishna, then he should worship Krishna. If he wants to go to the heavenly planets, then he should. There's so many parts of the Vedas that teach you how to worship the different demigods so you can go there. You want to live with Agni, the fire god, you can go there. You want to live with the sun god, you can go there. Oh, you have to decide what you want. Where do you want to go? You want to live with the ghosts and spirits? Then you can also worship ghosts and spirits. You can go there. Text 3. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. The explanation here is that the common man, the karmis, they're generally not interested even in spiritual life. They don't even care. They're not very serious about finding God or even any kind of spiritual perfection. Their ideas just want to... It's like an animal. An animal, he lives his life, he never inquires about anything spiritual. A dog, even to the last breath, he simply thinks about bones, eating, you know, chewing on bones, and sleeping, and barking. That's it, and other female dogs. That's it. There's nothing else higher. So the human beings who are like karmis, they're compared, mudhas, they're compared to animals. They don't think about anything beyond. They're not interested in any kind of spiritual perfection. Then the next stage is called the gyanis, and they are those who endeavor for spiritual perfection through the impersonal process. Once they understand aham brahmasmi, that's considered a certain type of perfection. They've understood what the humans are supposed to understand, that you're not the body. But it's not enough, because Krishna says here, even those who have achieved perfection, even those who know they're not the body, hardly one knows me in truth. In other words, out of many thousands of jnanis, it's hard to find a bhakta. Bhakta is very rare. And just not only rare, but valuable also, like a diamond. Out of so much coal, it's very rare to find a diamond, but sometimes you'll find a diamond in coal. Okay, and last verse. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, altogether these eight constitute my separated material energy. This is a very nice scientific verse that everyone can appreciate. It's not religious at all. It's very scientific. We're talking about eight different types of material energies. And Krishna says these are his separated material energies. They're coming from him. And these eight can be further expanded into many more. You can break them down. But these are the gross. It's like they have the elements, the chart of the elements, if you take math, some science class. And they break down earth and gases and different things. But all those things are coming from the eight material elements. Any questions? Yeah. Then you're in trouble. No. Then... Yeah, that's the problem. That's a misunderstanding. And that's why Prabhupada wouldn't allow his disciples to read any of these books. Because that tendency might be there. Because we want something cheap. Not that those things are cheap. I'm not saying that. But we want something cheap. We want the shortcut method. And we don't want to go through the proper process. We want to cut corners. So we're thinking, if I can go right up without going through it. Prabhupada wrote so many books, so if I can just go up, jump over quickly. This principle of jumping over the immediate acharya. Just like the idea, why should I read Prabhupada's books? Why not read Vishwanath Chakravarti? Then after that, why not just Bhaktivinoda? Why not just go up Brahma, Krishna? And I can skip everybody. This is the beginning of the sahajya tendency. Sahajas, they want to go immediately to 10th canto to dance with Krishna and Rasa Leela. When they're not prepared yet. How can we jump up? How can we understand? Actually, Prabhupada has given everything in his books. And when we say everything, we also mean everything from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, from Narottam Das Thakur, from all the acharyas. It's all there. There's nothing missing. His purports are full. But I'm saying to you that all those different spiritual masters, all those acharyas, all their teachings are in Prabhupada's books. Even, for example, the works of the six Goswamis. There's different sections where they discuss in the Sandarbhas, Shat Sandarbha, and they discuss about the different aspects. For example, there's one controversy. Prabhupada put it in his purports, that there was one theory that Krishna and Balaram came from a black hare and a white hare. And that's very elaborately described. So Prabhupada puts that in the purports, and he explains that. So everything from that we need, and that's the point that Krishna was saying before, is that I will explain everything that you need. There'll be nothing further for you to know, to be known. But a good disciple, one devotee wrote to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, if you only wrote one book, I would just be satisfied reading that one book. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is a disciple. But I'm saying that everything that's in the Acharya's books, I'm telling you, it's in Prabhupada's books. It's all there. Nothing missing. Just like avoiding the offenses, you know, being careful, trying to get free from offenses. But Harinam Chintamani is discussing that. And so one of Prabhupada's disciples was carrying that book around, and Prabhupada said, what are you reading? And he said, this book. And Prabhupada said, come on, you don't need to go on with that. Let's get on with the offenses. Go on with devotional service. Why do you need to dwell on that? In other words, Prabhupada is such an expert spiritual master. He has given us all the Vedic wisdom in such a way that we can make very, very rapid advancement and go right on up to the highest level of devotional service. Do you want to remain on other levels? Prabhupada's not keeping us down. He's taking us forward very quickly. And he's giving us Vishwanath Chakravarti. Where do you think the purports? Prabhupada, when he was writing his Bhagavatam purports, he was using this book that had the commentaries of several big acharyas such as Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sridhar Swami, etc. So he was taking from all of them and putting it in his purports. So you've got everything there. Nothing missing. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.